chapter 14. Every day of your life, you have got an option. Every day, every one of us has got an option. I can worship or I can not worship. Worship is not passive. Do you understand that? Worship requires activity. Verbal, physical, emotional. I don't worship with my mind. I worship with my heart and my mouth. Hey, 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 hey. And God is not looking for solid, passive people. He's looking for worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit is when you're dancing under the power, and truth is when you're listening to the preaching. That's right. Hallelujah. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. If you're saved and you know it, your life will surely show it. I didn't take any medication tonight. John chapter 14. I want to talk to you tonight. We don't have a series, but don't forget the Word. Does that sound simple enough? Why would you say that, Pastor? Because it is obvious that many people do forget the Word. I'm not talking about memorizing chapter and verse and this, that, and that. I'm talking about when your back is pushed against the wall and you're challenged to be consumed with what you're eat up with, the normal thing that many people do is immediately forget the Word. Hello? They forget the promises. They forget the power of the Word. So tonight I want to convey to you the truth and the idea of do not forget the Word. And maybe you're here tonight and you're going through adversity or situations. My advice to you is get back a hold of the Word. Hello? I've got six verses, and then we're going to go to another passage. We're going to Luke chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 3. You got that? You'll be getting it. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow stuff to get you troubled. Now, I have failed that before. Anybody join me? And you that say you've not failed it, we'll excuse you. I can't help you. You're already ahead of me. Let not your heart be troubled. See, you got to hook up the prior verses. He's talking some major things here. He's talking servanthood in chapter 13. But let's go. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing the place, and the Holy Ghost is preparing the person. And the two will intersect at some time. Hello? God is, do y'all understand what I'm saying? Hasten the day, Lord, when you come. He says, when you get ready, I will call you home. I'm talking about the church. The place is being touched up, fine-tuned. But the problem, am I talking to anybody? The problem is the sluggardness of the people. Hello? The most exciting people on earth want to be people like Betty Avery. The Christians, Pentecostal Christians, have no reason to be gloomy. Amen? I'm going to get through reading in a minute. But I was today in prayer. Believe it or not, the good Lord talks to me. sometime. I'm talking about through thoughts, mainly through Scripture. Does he talk to you through Scripture? But here's the phrase that comes vividly in my mind, dramatically in my mind, the transferal of thought. Do you understand? Did I say that transferal? Did I say feral? Right? Of thought. The shifting of gears. Moving the negative to the positive. Now, I know I'm preaching good. But we say, I want God to do this. God says, whoa, just a minute. Just a minute. I make the ability, but you do the transferring. Finally, my brethren, what things soever, Philippians 4, are of good report and on and on and on, think on those things. But Lord, I got so much going on. Get that junk out of your mind and think about what you're supposed to think about. As a man thinketh in his heart. Oh, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But we have the mind of God. And the renewing of your mind, that's what Romans chapter 8. When we find, I want to help somebody. When we find our mind is in a rut, and if you don't guard your mind, you're headed for a rut. Oh, God, help me. When you find that you're heading on the sliding board to gloom and doom, you have got the ability and the authority and the responsibility to shift gears. You do it, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Anywhere is home if Christ my Lord is there. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, listen. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the Baba Hashapa. Oh, God, touch my mind. What is the way? The life of Jesus illustrates the way. As he was in the world, so should I be. Who thought it not to be robbery to consider himself equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. Hello? Oh, Jesus, help me. I am the way. You're dealing with cantankerous people sometime. And you wonder, how can I deal with this honorary person? Jesus said, I'll show you. I am the way. Do it the way I would do it. We interpret things so broadly. You know, I am the way. We picture a highway there. No. The way he conducted himself is the way I am to conduct myself. Oh, Jesus. No plan B. If you've been hurt, how do I handle my hurts? The way Jesus did. Does that make sense to you? Now, I didn't promise you eloquence tonight, but I am promising you the word. If we live by 20% of the word that we know, we'd be a happy crowd. Okay. Lord, Thomas said, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, And I'm the truth. And I'm the life. Everything is in Jesus. No man cometh to the Father, unto the Father, but by me. All right, let's move to the left in your Bibles to the book of St. Luke. I'm preaching now. He's recording this. So when he records it, he's preaching, whether it's talking fast or slow. Luke chapter 5. We're talking about don't forget the word. When everything's going good, remember the word. When everything's not doing so good, remember the word. When the biscuits are burned and the preserves are not good and the eggs are scrambled too hard, remember the word. Hello? We're similar to a team that's got a bit in its mouth and a driver that knows how to put the pressure. Oh. Chapter 5 of Luke, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Are y'all ready? It came to pass that his people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Two ships standing by the lake, the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. He knew whose boat he was getting in. He didn't just indiscriminately say, hey, I like that 14-footer. He knows. And if you're not ready for him to get in your boat, he don't get in your boat. Hello? He don't pick the apples from the tree when they're not ripe. He lets them hang there and get ripe. That's why you got saved when you got saved. He come into your boat at the right point, in the right time, in the right place. It was no conference worked out with you and God, well, when I'm 39 years old. None of that stuff. He watched you ripen. He watched you mature and develop. And if he don't get you when you're ripe, you'll rot. You'll stink. He's watching. He knows when to pick the fruit. That's why you deal with co-workers or relatives or cousins or something, and some of them look at you like you're an idiot. They sneer at you. They're not ripe. Some of them kind of tremble in their heart and they, well, what do you mean by this? They're being ripened. And you, my dear brother and sister, myself, it is our privilege to be able to discern who is ripe and who is not ripe. We are fruit pickers. I'm enjoying this. I don't know who y'all are or not. So he goes in the proper man's boat, Simon's boat, said, thrust out a little while from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch. Now, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You will not give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus to anyone without getting a reward. Hello? And God's rewards are sometimes so subtle that we just consume them and don't even think that God did it. Hello? We expect the sky to split and a voice come from heaven. I'm not saying it couldn't, but most of the time it's something in just a smooth transition. And you look back 10 years down the road and say, you know, that was God that did that. Hallelujah. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And here's old argument Simon answered, said in him, Master, we're the fishermen, you're the teacher. Leave the fishing to us, we'll leave the teaching to you. He said, no, it don't work that way. Master, we experts have toiled all night and have taken nothing. And here it is daylight, and you're telling us to, and we've washed our net, and you're telling us to get back out in the deep water. See how the natural mind rejects the spiritual truth? I just said something. That happened a long, long, long time ago, but it may be today that something similar happened to somebody here. The natural mind will not naturally absorb spiritual truths that astonish us. We accept the truth that the sun's coming up tomorrow morning. That doesn't startle us. It would startle us if it didn't. We accept the truth that of normal things. We accept whatever the natural mind can analyze. But when it comes to spiritual minds, can God deliver that cancer out of them? That's a challenge. Now the sun's going to come up, and the moon and all that stars are hanging out there by God's word. That's what he said, by his word. But then when we come down to John Doe's got cancer, I know I'm preaching to you. When it comes down to the challenge of natural versus spiritual, we will lean to the natural every time. We've taught, but you don't understand, Master. We've taught all night. We're the fishermen. Our natural mind knows all about the tides and the currents and where and all the nets are. We understand all that stuff, and we'll support you as a teacher. We'll encourage you. But lately, our natural mind don't go with what you're saying. You're saying a lot. But listen to Peter's credit. Nevertheless, I love that word. I love that word. Nevertheless, the Lord knoweth them that are his. All through the Bible, that word nevertheless, you just want to research it. You just want to take it sometime and through the concordance and shout every time you read it, because it's always at a pivotal point we're challenging. Nevertheless, at thy word. I'm an expert. Here's the theory. Peter said, I know I've been fishing all my life. My granddaddy was a fisherman. We know this, all this stuff. But you are greater than my knowledge. You are greater. You're far wiser than I am. I don't think we'll be accomplishing anything to launch out, but you, nevertheless, you control all things. See, that's the issue. God is trying to get me to the nevertheless point. I'm not saying I've been there, and I'm not saying I'm there now, but you may be there. But most of us are struggling with it. Most of us leave the nevertheless over, and we say it's up. We put a period behind the deed, but we don't broaden it, put a comma there. But nevertheless, Lord, the doctor said I had, I'm just talking. The doctor said I had cancer. The doctor said I had TB. The doctor said I had sugar, whatever you got. And we stun. We shake in our shoes. We stumble around because we put a period there. Well, God, it's over with now. You've done everything you can do. You created the world and all that's in it. And everything runs by your word. Everything operates by your decree. But we've reached a point now where it's out of your hands. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know I'm telling you the truth. Well, brother, we're praying for you. God's going to see you. God can, and we just go on rambling this stuff out of the corner of our mouth, justifying. Why don't we just rise up sometimes, square our shoulders and say, I know what the doctor said. I heard the doctor. And I know if I listened to my natural mind, I'd be shaking in my shoes. I'd be worrying what's going to happen. But nevertheless, I've chosen to trust you, God. And guess what happened? Let's go back. Nevertheless, at thy word. Get the word of God mingled in with any decision that you're going to make. Any choice. Bring the word of God into it. I will let down the net. The argument's over. He don't care whether he catches fish or doesn't catch fish. The issue is not the only issue is the master told him to launch out. That's the issue now. He's not debating, I'll go over here. All I'm doing now, I am obeying someone that is over me. I'm obeying the authority of Jesus Christ. He told me to launch out. So at his word, not at some fleeting thought, not at some hype, at his word. Don't forget the word. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. See, there's a challenge there. When you've taken nothing, you lose the vision for continuing on what you're doing. When you've taken nothing, when your prayers have got you nowhere, and you know it happens, why should I even pray? You know, here's the logic. Why should I even pray? I prayed, nothing happened, so what's the use? At thy word. It didn't happen in January, it didn't happen in March, it didn't happen in July, it didn't happen in October, but November's coming. I will let down the net, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude. It was against better fishing. Better net fishing would be at night, you know, obviously. Better net fishing would be this, that, and the other. But when the word spoke to them, Hamashabakaya. They enclose a great multitude of fish and their net break. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bless us until what we can't contain it. Hello? You got to believe that. You must believe that. You must get the mindset out of your brain that our God is a tightwad, stingy, and you got to wrestle things out of his hand. That is wrong. I will pour out my spirit. I will bless you in your going in and coming out. I will bless you in the city, in the country. I'll bless you when you sit down. When you rise up, I'll bless your harvest. I will bless you. And as long as that miserly devil, as long as that lying serpent can get into our brain, we'll never get out of the rut. I'm tired. And Sunday morning I preached, I guess it was Sunday morning, is there not a cause? Sometimes there's got to be a jolt. Hello? Sometimes there's got to be a shock to wake us up and say, what am I doing? How did I end up like this? What am I doing in this mess that I'm in? What am I doing? And it wakes you up. Can I get somebody to say amen? I am not designed, not created, nor are you, to struggle through life day by day with the load of the world on my shoulders. That is not the way God intended it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, if I ever get any joy, I'll do it. Well, you're never going to get joy until you go. If you want joy, shout for it. If you want joy, raise your hands. Somebody needs to get a dose right now. Just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the number of Hashiah. Glory to God. Somebody needs to just shout aloud with the voice of triumph. I want to tell you, the Jericho walls did not come down day number one in March number one's orbit. Hello? They had to get up day number two. Same enemy, same walls, same circumstance, same everything. Nothing different, just another day of wearing their shoes out. They had to get up day number three. They wasn't given a blueprint except Joshua. They had to follow their leader. Joshua says, I know what we're doing. We're not just randomly messing around here. We're going to see these walls drop down. And sometimes churches get walls. Hey! Sometimes congregations get an invisible wall built around them. I don't know how it happens. I'm not going to try to analyze it, but I know it happens. I know it's happened to our congregation. An invisible wall gets built around it, and there's no going in and no coming out. We're just kind of like sitting mummified. But, oh, dear God, if we ever get a hold of the faith of God, if we ever get a hold of the Spirit of God and say, whoa, this is contradictory to everything that we believe in. This is not right. And we come out fighting. We come out fighting. Gideon said, we need to recruit the army. And 32,000 show up. And God said, that's too many. You got a bunch of flake there. You got fluff and puff there. They're not going to fight. They're going to hold you. Oh, you know. But congregations do it. And we can sit. And we can sour. And we can soak. And we can die. And we can die. And there are churches that are dead. Literally dead. Because they didn't rise up and say, whoa, 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 whoa. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. I hadn't even started. It's 25 minutes after 8, and I hadn't even started preaching. Well, I have to. Let's go to Proverbs. When you go home tonight, I hope that you can't sleep. I hope you lay in there and say, you know, my pastor really had a coattail on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, anyhow. Never let your problems get you down. When your problems come your way, hold your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Internet, take it and run with it. I'm in a zone tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all, that's so significant, that is so crucial. Don't just tokenly do this. Commit yourself unto the Lord. Amen? With all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's the crux of it. Your understanding, my understanding, is not capable. We're gonna be pulled down in a negativity, in doubts. We're going to be pulled down in bewilderment. When we use logic, so the writer of Hebrews, which is the Holy Ghost of Proverbs, said, lean not. Don't trust your intellectual ability unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God's going to bring it to pass. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. Walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Trust, okay, verse number 6. This is divine instructions, ladies and gentlemen. And when we don't follow instructions, you know, some genius, that's a little sarcasm, some genius come along with putting everything that you buy in boxes. I don't care what it is, if it's a percolator or whatever, it's all wrapped up. And it's got 101 pieces and a diagram. Step number one. And, you know, Brother Lloyd, he can come around. He's a genius. First thing he does is just get rid of the instructions. If you're getting a dud for instructions, throw them away. And he can just put point number one, point number two, point number three, and I just stand there just Googling at it. That's beautiful. But they come with all these pieces, and then they, you know, act like it's just a piece. I'd rather for them to put it together in the store. Save me a lot of aggravation. When we moved in that house, we got a desk. Brother Buddy Willard was assembler of number one, and Brother Lloyd was the assembler of number two. I made sure that if they needed ice water or something, I was a good servant. Lean not unto thy, in all thy ways, your conduct. Hello? That's what he's talking about. In all thy way, in all of your conduct, your attitude, your disposition, acknowledge him. And he, oh Lord. Sometimes things come to my mind that I put a check on it because, you know. In all of your ways, if I stood up here tonight and preached on immorality or preached on habits and all, I could, it might get an amen out of some of you. I don't know. But if I say acknowledge him in all of our ways, well, when I put my tithing envelope in the bag on Sunday morning, I'm acknowledging him. Hello. I'm saying I'm doing it your way. I'm not quibbling. I'm not arguing about it. This is your way. Just thought I'd throw that in. He shall direct thy, be not wise in thine own eyes. I love that. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you do it, now the aftermath of doing this, this is strong. The result of doing this, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You want to get healthy? You want to get blessed? You want to get prosperous in all your conduct? Acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Hallelujah. Hello? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What's that first word in that verse? Honor. Show honor to God. Do you remember Melchizedek, Abraham, the way that the tithes was done? That was a marvelous, beautiful thing. So shall the result of all of this, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, did he say it? And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Not old wine. Not that rotten stuff. New juice. Are y'all ready? Now I've read all my scripture. Made a couple of comments. You want me to stop now or go ahead and make some more comments? I take that as being unanimous. The word will be challenged. Now please understand that. The word, you read in the word, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. That's the word. You embrace that word. You say, oh, God said that. God said that. There's no higher power. God said that. You say, you know, you wrap around it. I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. God said it. All right? Then that natural mind begins to rear up and say, you know, that's, now he's never told y'all this, but he's whispered this to me, particularly in the early years. Well, you know, that's applicable to another generation, whatever. And we lose it. We lose out upon what we're holding on to. Hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering. Did the Bible say it in Hebrews 4:14 and 10:23? For he is faithful I feel like that we are, as a unit, that we're like a great boxer in a corner. And we've been stunned by some blow from the devil, but we're recognizing that there's another round coming. I feel, Brother Fred, I feel like that whoever they are in the boxing ring that's got the bell and the hammer, I just feel like that the hammer's getting ready to sound and hit the bell again. And the final round. Hey! The final round is about to begin. We may be bruised. We may be battered. We may come through trials and tribulation, but we're getting adrenaline. Oh, God help me. Somehow or other, something's taking place. I know it is. Something is pushing through the exterior, coming into the seat of our emotions and our heart. And there's a spirit of life that's coming back to this church, a spirit of hope and a spirit of power and a spirit of deliverance that's going to march out of the corner of the ring into the middle of the ring and hold the gloves of God's power up and say to the devil, "This is your day, bang!" Am I talking to you? Glory to God, hallelujah. Hold on, my child. It don't always have to be bleak and bleary. It don't always have to be dark and dreary. It can be. There is a radiance of God. And I thank God the Holy Ghost has been waiting on us and watching us as we've gone through the shift in these last few weeks of a trial and attendance and everything. I think the Holy Ghost is saying, I'm watching who you are. I'm watching what you're doing. I'm watching your reaction, your attitude to this. I will bless you according to your reaction. If you react negatively, I will bless you negatively. If you react positively, if you see things that other people can't see, if you understand things that other people can't understand, I will bless you according to your insight. I'm supposed to see what the world can't see. I'm supposed to see what nominal Christians can't see. I'm supposed to see what backsliders can't see. I'm supposed to see with the eyes of God. Oh, what do you see, Elijah or Elisha? What do you see, 10 spies? What do you... Oh, God, help us to get out of the natural, get into the spiritual, get out of the carnal, get into the anointing. Your ship might be sinking, but mine's coming back up. Your ship might be battered and torn, and you might say, well, I'm mutiny on the bounty. I don't care what, I'm tired of it. Oh! We marched around this Jericho for several days, so to speak. But we're coming for the last journey right now. We're coming for the last trip, and we're going to see things. Oh, Elmosa, I'm speaking prophetic to you tonight. We're on the verge of seeing things that we would not believe a year ago, or 5 years ago. We're seeing things in the shaking, in the shaping up. Oh, my God, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm seeing the gifts of the Spirit mobilize, the gifts of the Spirit coming upon the body of church of believers in the congregation. Don't forget the Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Gehazi, see that lady coming? That's the Shunammite. I don't know what the deal is, but you go run to her. And you stop her, don't socialize. Ask her 3 questions. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with that son? Is it well with you? She said, it is well. Do you understand that? You'll say, well, whoa, that's lying. No, I used to get captivated in that stuff, truth or lie, you know, if I say I'm healed, you know, all that rigmarole. She answered according to her faith. It's, well, I didn't earn that child. I didn't even ask for the child. Hello? I wasn't looking for a child. But you, mister, come by here, Elijah, that is. You come by here and you said, what can be done for this dear lady that's fixing me a coffee in the morning and a donut and whatever? And she does not have a child. Well, we're going to do something about that. She's not asking. And she got a miracle without asking. That's what God wants to do. God wants to give miracles without us even. And the devil, hear what I'm trying to preach to you tonight. The devil said, I will destroy her miracle. That's it. That's what the devil is after. Every one of us is a miracle. We are a miracle of God Almighty. God gave us life. God gave us hope. God gave us deliverance. God gave us good things. And the devil says, I will destroy her miracle. That's the thing that her heart is wrapped around. That's the thing she loves. He falls sick and he dies. And is it well? It is well. I didn't ask for him. God gave him to me. Hear me. You know what I'm preaching. Jehazi. Elisha said, take my staff. Take my staff and run and lay it upon the child and give me the story. Tell him. He comes back. He said, I did what you said. Faithful just like I was supposed to. But the child is still dead. Elisha said, the staff is the word. And the staff in the wrong hands is a history book. But in the right hands, and Elisha said, we're going to go beyond. You know the story. He goes into the room and he stretches himself on the child. Am I right? And the child sneezes. You know what a sneeze does? Somebody sneeze. You know what a sneeze does? It expels mucus. Every one of us need a good spiritual sneeze. We need to come Sunday morning and have a sneeze in here. Just honk it out. Because there ain't one of us in here that don't have something that don't need to come out. Hello? I mean, we need to get down and see the reason. I could carry that on for a little while. The reason why we know that we, how am I trying to phrase this? Sneeze is a reaction to something that's in there. You know, one of the most disappointing things in my life, this is so funny. I feel one building up. It's going to be a good one. I mean, it's going to come out of my belly. And then all at once it fades away. I just get so mad, I don't know what to do. I said, I just cheated myself. I was geared up for it. I was prepared for it. It was going to splatter the windshield. And then all at once it was a lying sign. You know, I'm preaching pretty good. He laid upon the child and the child sneezed. And the child sneezed. Stuff was coming out. And then the child raised up. Is it well? Yes, it's well. It's well when my husband's in the field working. It's well when my child is laying there dying. It's well when I'm running trying to find the man of God. It's well because I know who's on the throne. Help me, Jesus. I'm going to close up because I hadn't even got to John chapter 14. Jesus was a miracle worker. You believe that? They were going to take Jesus in a little while after John 14 and Passover was going to happen. They were going to crucify him. And they tried him, and you know all that. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost, said it's finished. And it looked like his promise to his disciples was going to be a falsehood. He told them that I'll come back, and they're thinking natural. And they take him from the cross, and their faith is shattered. And they think, but he said he was going to come back, and he's dead, so it's over with now. Let's go fishing. Hello? And they put him in the tomb, seal it. But remember, we're not to lean upon our own understanding. If Jesus said, I shall come back, he's not just talking about for the rapture. He said, here's essence of what he said. They'll bury me and I'll be out of your sight for 3 days, but you remember one thing, I'm coming back. On the third day, early in the morning, the first day of the week, which was the third day of the burial, early in the morning, the Mary and the other Mary and some of them go, they're not going looking for an empty tomb, they're going looking for a corpse. And some of you are going to come here Sunday morning, and maybe others that are not here, you're going to come here Sunday morning and you're no more looking for a living Savior than you are for a donkey. You're looking for a corpse that we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, come on. You're looking for someone who used to live. You're looking for someone who used to have power. You're not looking for someone that lives today, that used to live, but he come back. And just in case they were confused, he held his hands out and said, let me just show you the evidence. This is not hype. This is the real deal. Let me show you my side. This is not hype. This is real. My side was open, so it wasn't for me to get out. It was for you to get in. I have you in my heart. And one day, kneeling in an altar of repentance and prayer, I come in that gap and hole in his side. I come into his heart. It's not just that he's in my heart. It's I'm in his heart. I know the thoughts that I think about you. Do you understand that? Do you get that, that you are in his heart? You're. I don't think you do. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. But we're not to lean to our own understanding, and they were forgetting the God, forgetting the Word of God. We're going fishing. They revert back to the natural. I've seen it so many times that it's embarrassing. So many times, young, middle age, older, it doesn't matter the age group. They come and they lay their sin upon the altar and they cry and they're sincere. They're not hyping. I mean, there's no question. They mean business. But before 30 days are over, they're reverting back to their old style. They're reverting back. Something went wrong. Something, am I talking to you? Something went wrong. Something, you know, they lean to their own understanding. You can't do that. So they put him in the grave. You remember that? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He gave seven distinct I ams, which cover the totality of your life. Hello? Seven I ams. And he's alive. When you come in here Sunday morning, you're not coming to some formality. Please get your mind reprogrammed. He said, if two or three are gathered, you know that story. I will be there in the midst of you. So you're not coming looking for a historical person that lived in Judea 2,000 years ago that did some unusual things and books were written about him. You're coming in the presence of the living God. You're coming into the presence of deity. You're coming into the presence of he who was alive and was dead and now is alive forevermore. He'll never die again. Ever. They can't kill him again. There's not enough artillery in the world to kill him. There's not enough conniving in the world to kill him. He arose triumphant over the grave. He sits at the right hand of the Father right now, alive forevermore. He's the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent. He reigns and rules. And all he's asking from you and me, serve him. That's all he wants from me. He don't want me to, he's not asking me to make a name. Just serve him. Just get down in humility and say, whatever you want me to do, call upon me. Present yourself as a living body, as a holy sacrifice. Hello? They go to the tomb. And he's not there. Well, what happened to him? He was away for 3 days, but he come back. Then go with me quickly as we close this up. Go with me to Bethany. Am I right? Bethany, Mount of Olives. He assembles the people together. And he said in John 14, if I go away, I shall come back. But all at once, he begins to ascend. I have never believed it was like a speeding bullet. I believe it was slow and deliberate so that people could mull it over in their mind and be astonished. Look at him. He's head high now. He's shoulder high. He's a treetop high. And it was breathtaking. It was marvelous. And then he said to an angel, you got an assignment. I don't know how many other assignments that angel had. I don't know how many, what agenda he had, but I know one assignment he had. It may have been more than two angels. I don't know. Tell the people, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you see leaving shall come. He's going, but he's coming back. Now we are early. Listen to me, I got to close. We are early in the third day. It's biblical days, you understand? 2,000 years, that was 2 days. 2 days are behind, early in the morning on the third, first day of the week now, but the third day. It's amazing through the Bible. You want to research the third day. The third is significant. So we're in the dawn of the third day, and it was early in the morning on the third day. He's coming back. Amen. He was pushed into obscurity, but he came back. He was buried in weakness and raised in power, but he came back. 40 days went by and he ascends. He says to the people, you tarry in Jerusalem. Boy, I tell you, the book of Acts is an awesome thing. It's mortal men and women doing immortal things. It's natural human beings doing supernatural power. It's a marvelous book. It's an amazing book. It tells you. And listen, I know I overstayed my welcome long ago. I was listening to see if anybody said amen. It's a marvelous book. And he's coming back. Transferal of your thoughts. The only thing that's holding some people up from being what God wants them to be is their mind is in the wrong place. Their mind is in the wrong. Let me tell you something. Negativity will destroy you. And you can't, don't fool yourself. You can't grab yourself by the britches and pull yourself out of the depression pit. You can't do it. Well, what do I do? You shift your mind while you're still in the hole, while you're still in the pit. You start taking control of your mind. You start believing the Word of God. Would you stand?